Man, it's an hour and 45 minutes before 2023 arrives. So I don't think there's any better time than right now for Gaza Corner to look back at Palestine and Israel, the year that has come and gone. I'll try to be as concise as possible as I'll be discussing many of the, I think, the highlights or lowlights, mostly lowlights, I think, of the year. Much of it can be referenced by going to the Tangents website, tangents.com. In the left-hand column, you'll find a link for the Gaza Corner Archive, which is curated by Kent Howard. And most of the Gaza Corners are there, including the source articles and the audio. And so that's a good way to kind of see what the year has been like in Palestine and Israel, as well as two outstanding reports that are at the Tangents playlist at the Gaza Corner section. And one of them is from Mondo Weiss, the online Palestinian-focused news portal. It has an excellent piece, perfect for tonight, called 2022 in Review, Palestine's Moment of Truth. And there's another report from Defense for Children International Palestine. I'll be referring to the acronym DCIP, Defense for Children International Palestine. It issued a report called Year in Review, A Deadly Year for Palestinian Children. I should tell you as a disclaimer, I am a regular financial contributor to Mondo Weiss and Defense for Children International Palestine. I give every year. When I look back at 2022, I think it's the year that Israeli narratives and what's called Hasbara is essentially propaganda. The propaganda and the narratives that have held sway in the international community seemingly forever, I think really became undone. One line that often pops up to justify U.S. support for Israel is that we share common values. 2022 is the year that racist, homophobic, and violent ethno-nationalists, such as Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich, emerged as the kingmakers in Israel's recent election that brought Netanyahu back into power. Their coalition surged in popularity precisely because they were transparent and proud about their racist views. In other words, 2022 was the year racism was normalized in Israeli society. I realize that the United States is filled with a lot of racists, but I do believe a majority of Americans are not. And I also believe that is not the case in Israel, where Jewish supremacy is a common ideology. The morphing of Zionism and anti-Zionism, I also think, came into full focus in 2022. Leaders such as Itamar Ben-Gvir want all of historic Palestine to belong to Israel. This is the Zionism of today, a settler colonial project intent on ethnically cleansing Palestinians by any means necessary. Now, that's really been the case since even before Israel was created. You can say 1947, even a year before. But it was always done without admitting that was the intention. But now it's like out in the open. Itamar Ben-Gvir, who's in charge of the Israeli police and private armies, essentially in the West Bank, he has said his vision is for Israel to take over all of historic Palestine. And this is something that's new, to say it so openly, Netanyahu's always said, oh, yeah, we want a two-state solution, although, meanwhile, aggressively building settlements. Anti-Zionism has been manipulated by Zionists to be an anti-Semitic movement. And that is simply wrong. I'm an anti-Zionist. I want Israelis and Palestinians to enjoy equal rights and return to 1967 borders. However, if you've been to the West Bank, you know that de facto annexation is already in place. So I'm not sure how a return to 67 borders can even be done, but that to me should be the goal and the vision. Benjamin Netanyahu's incoming government's coalition agreement began with a declaration that the Jewish people have a quote-unquote natural right to the land of Israel, which implies formal annexation of the West Bank. 2022 is the year the disconnect between the Palestinian Authority and everyday Palestinians became visible to all. It's also clear the Palestinian Authority, also known as the PA, that its security collaboration with Israel has a finite life. The PA has no popular support among Palestinians. Israel launched Operation, quote-unquote, Break the Wave on March 31st of this year. It was in response to the return of Palestinian organized armed resistance for the first time since the Second Intifada. 2022 witnessed the highest number of Palestinians killed in the West Bank since the Second Intifada. Two factors that caused many more Palestinian deaths were the loosening of Israel's open fire policy and also the return of Israel's really decades-old strategy of extrajudicial assassination, which is illegal under international law. Of the 171 Palestinians killed in the West Bank in 2022, 36 were children. Essentially, one out of every five Palestinians killed by Israel was a child or a minor. Investigations and evidence collected by DCIP, again, DCIP is Defense for Children International Palestine. DCIP strongly suggests that Israeli forces use intentional lethal force against Palestinian children in circumstances that may amount to extrajudicial or intentional killings. In DCIP's report, which again is linked at the Gaza Corner section of tonight's playlist, in addition to, quote, killing Palestinian children with impunity, Israeli forces systematically detained and ill-treated hundreds of Palestinian children in the Israeli military detention system and threatened to demolish dozens of Palestinian schools. The emergence of officially organized armed groups is unique to 2022. I'm talking about Palestinian armed groups. The string of assassinations of prominent resistance fighters really fueled the rise of these groups. Organized armed resistance in the West Bank has been mostly focused on military targets and Israeli settlers. And they're reacting to nightly raids by Israeli security forces. On the other hand, there are Palestinian, quote-unquote, lone wolf attacks, and these are offensive in nature and targeting soldiers and settlers. The UN General Assembly approved a resolution decades ago affirming the right, quote, to self-determination, freedom, and independence, particularly peoples under colonial and racist regimes or other forms of alien domination, but noted the right of the occupied to struggle in that effort. Human rights lawyer and activist Stanley Cohen wrote, quote, "The term armed struggle was implied without precise definition in that resolution and many other early ones that upheld the right of indigenous persons to evict an occupier," the words of Stanley Cohen. Palestinian armed resistance doesn't occur in a vacuum. This past year brought on an intensification of settler mob attacks against Palestinians. Also, the judiciary approved what I consider the theft of Palestinian land and the ethnic cleansing of communities. Masafayata, the most egregious example, a community that predates the founding of Israel, where some 1,300 Palestinians face imminent eviction. 2022 saw the mainstreaming of the word apartheid to describe Israel's treatment of Palestinians. The year began with the most mainstream human rights organization in the world, Amnesty International. Amnesty issued a 280-page report accusing Israel of the crime of apartheid, saying, quote, "It is a crime against humanity, and it has to end." Israel censoring Palestinian voices is nothing new, but what is new in a move spearheaded by former Defense Minister Benny Gantz, who may be under suspicion for being a war criminal by the International Criminal Court, Israel committed an unprecedented attack on Palestinian civil society, criminalizing six essential Palestinian human rights organizations by labeling them terrorist organizations in the hope that their international funding would dry up, particularly coming from Europe. Eventually, they raided the offices, including the aforementioned Defense for Children International Palestine, and issued a military order banning the activity of these NGOs. These organizations do continue to do their work, documenting Israeli human rights violations, but under a great deal of personal risk and stress. The European Union rejected the designation of the organizations as terrorist, citing a lack of evidence. And even the Biden administration was not convinced the evidence was credible. The most high-profile killing of a Palestinian was the intentional killing of the iconic Palestinian-American broadcaster Shireen Abu Akleh. Gaza Corner did an extensive segment. You can check it out at the archive at the Tangents homepage, tangents.com. Scroll down to May 14th. It details how she was murdered. The Israelis finally admitted the killing likely came from their side, but blamed no one as impunity continues to be alive and well in Israel. The United States refused to do an independent investigation at that time. Finally, in mid-November, due to congressional pressure, the Biden administration changed its tune and opened an investigation by the FBI. I am not optimistic much will come out of it, but at least it's a so-called independent investigation. One positive move by Biden was made very soon after taking office. He restored aid that Trump had completely eliminated to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. Many of the refugees live in Gaza, where Israel launched a quote-unquote preemptive bombing campaign August the 5th through the 8th earlier this year. It was called Operation Breaking Dawn. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, claimed it was targeting high-level members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, and the operation included extrajudicial assassinations of its members. During the three-day bombing, 49 people died, and at least 350 Palestinians were injured. As is usual in these bombings, Palestinian children bore the brunt of the assault. 17 Palestinian children were confirmed killed. No Israelis were killed. One bright spot for Palestine this year was the World Cup. And Palestine didn't even have a team at the World Cup. But due to the World Cup being hosted by an Arab country, Qatar, for the first time ever, an Arab country was hosting the World Cup. And most notably, Morocco got to the semifinals, first time an Arab country got to the semifinals. And they really gave France a run for its money to get to the finals. But it was absolutely unprecedented, all the display of Palestinian solidarity. It was evident not only from the fans, many of whom wore Palestinian keffiyehs, but the Moroccan team itself, again, the darling of the World Cup. Its players proudly paraded the Palestinian flag all around the field to the cheers of thousands and thousands of fans. And in another positive development for Palestine, this year saw a noteworthy vote by the UN General Assembly requesting that the International Court of Justice provide an opinion on the legal consequences of Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories, including Jerusalem. The Biden administration is not in favor of that. With the most racist and ethno-nationalist government newly elected, 2023, I think tragically, will see more repression, more violence, more killings, especially in the West Bank, more than in 2022. I also imagine there will be a marked increase of settler mobs and private militias, confiscation of Palestinian land, and ethnic cleansing of Palestinian communities. Do you remember that the United Nations said that Gaza would become uninhabitable by the year 2020? We are an hour and a half away from 2023. If Ben-Gavir and Smotrich fulfill their vision, 2023 may become the year the West Bank is uninhabitable for Palestinians.